you have 10 minutes to tell us about yourself and as to why you have interest in the SAP support. Meaning, why did you apply for it? Surely you responded to the correct aspect. But also, if you can, without members asking, tell us if there is something that can be a problem to us, conflict of interest and all that kind of thing. Putting that at front is quite important. We have a 5 minute rule, so when we deal with questions, ensure that you are very certain to just answer questions, no stories. Thank you very much for what you said.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not going to try and pronounce this, so I'll speak to Honorable Chair, and thanks to the members as well for inviting me. Members, you probably all have seen the CV, I presume. Well, definitely you have seen it. So you know my background. I believe I have a strong background in corporate governance and also in finance and management data systems. I have applied for this position because I feel that I can bring some qualities to the board of the SABC. I have been in the past working in government in various sectors, notably in the last portion when I was in government was when I was the accountant general. So I do have a strong background on finance, on governance, and those issues which I think will play a very important role at the SABC at the moment. But I also have experience in government. I understand how government works, I understand the finance, I understand the procurement process, I understand how HR works, I understand how systems work and the legislation, and I think a lot of the failures that we had in the SABC is because of shortage of knowledge in those specific areas, or maybe it was deliberately not applied. But certainly I think as a board member it will be our duty as board members to have oversight over those things and make sure that the correct procedures are applied. I have long been involved in governance structures. I have served on various boards. I have served on various committees. I have experience in those matters, and therefore I believe I can apply those principles that I have learned to the SABC. And when you look at the SABC and some of the things that have been reported in the news, I think that is the important areas that we need to focus on. I have in my own mind set three objectives which I think as a board member I should be looking at if I do get elected to serve on the board. These things are governance, it's the finances, and it's also the staff morale. I don't know which of these three are more important. I think that all of them are equally important, Chair. The governance must improve. We know that there's failures in the SABC that has been pointed out in the past, certain decisions that have been taken by people that should not have been taken on that level. Certainly the board should have had oversight over certain of these aspects which they have not correctly applied. I think as a board we will need to take accountability. Consequence management will be very important. We need to take action against people that have not done the right things. And we must make sure that controls are put in place to make sure that these things never happen again. And can I just maybe say that the decisions that have been taken in the past might have been with good intentions, I don't know, but it's the execution of those things that we need to look at. We have to understand the impact of our action before we take those actions. So we might take an ideological view to say 90% of all the content that we broadcast must be local content, and that's a fantastic view for us as a country. But the implications of that we need to understand. Because the implications might be that the funding for the SABC runs out. And it's those consequences that we need to understand before we take any decision that could impact on us. I think it would be vital for any board member to take charge of the finances of the organisation. If reports that has been circulated in public media is correct, in the newspapers about the financial health of the SABC, then drastic action needs to be taken very quickly. yourself, I presume, and some of the other departments, but when you're in a situation like this, you have to take drastic action. And I believe I've been assisted in doing those kind of things. And then I think it's very important for the staff of the SABC to understand that they must have the freedom to speak out about things that they believe is wrong. It's very important that management must place trust in the people that does the work, because they are the people that are close to the complex and understand what they're doing. And I believe that we can assist as a board to improve the morale of the staff in that way by showing that we value what they do and that we stand behind them. Can you ask about things that might impact on my appointment? I'm not, if you look at the definition of a director, I don't have any of those things.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. But I do want to mention that there was
No. We still don't continue with the interview. Honourable Kala.
Morning, Mr. Sun. Briefly list just for me or for us the legislative framework that governs the SABC operation and function, and also you list various codes which also contribute towards making sure that proper governance and running of things in the SABC. Also, besides that, if you can just mention, I don't want you to go into detail those documents or those. Also, the internal arrangement, which also are stipulated in some documents which have been adopted and went through processes, which helps the agency to operate. So just those things.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think the most important legislation would obviously be the Communications Act and the Citizens Acts, like the Companies Act, the PFMA, and those acts that interact directly on the SABC. Codes would be things like the King Code of Corporate Governance and issues relating to that. But there's also, internally, there would be codes that the SABC has adopted, their own code of ethics and processes that must be followed. Internal arrangements, various charters, again, as I say, I think for me it would be mostly the internal procedures that they have adopted. There is certain codes in terms of the ICASA, the rules down through the act that they legislate. But there's also things like the Treasury regulations that amplify that, and from time to time the National Treasury would issue, and other institutions like the Presidency issue guidelines as to what people want to do. Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation will look at the key performance areas of the top management and the organisation itself as well, to see whether they produce what they are supposed to do with the money that has been allocated to them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just maybe you ask to clarify us. Here I have some sort of a summary information. Have you worked before, or you were working for the pressure, one position, or are you still working for it, to answer that? Then, are you aware of the company called BIT Technology Trading Abacus Advisor, which is alleged to have lucrative contract with Treasure in one of your partners who actually was a managing partner? worked in the office of the or was a consultant in the office of the former director general who is supposed to be of the treasury. And it is alleged also, it is from there that it is come out, which is alleged you associated with the space. So can you explain that so that we are clear of your involvement in that particular conversation?
Thanks, Jay. Indeed, that was the portion that I wanted to add when Jay gave me the time for the opening remarks, was to talk about that aspect. There has been, I did work for the Treasury. I left about 2 years ago. I was the Accountant General. Underneath my portfolio was the implementation of a new IT system for government, the IFMS, Integrated Financial Management System, which basically would have replaced the old legacy systems, which was BAS, Pascal, Lotus, etc., which deals with HR, finance, and supply chain. There was a company called BIT Technology that was appointed and that worked for us. It trades as Abacus, Abacus Consulting is the trading name of it. And indeed, I do know the managing director. A report about that process has been issued. There's an internal audit report, as you know, that has been circulated. There's also a forensic audit that has been done about the whole process. The forensic audit has not yet been published, but anecdotally, there were some reports in the newspapers about that. What is important is that the DG, the current DG of National Treasury, has stated categorically to the staff that no evidence of fraud has been found as far as that is concerned. It is true that this company did have a lucrative contract, but the correct procedures were followed in appointing them. The fact that they made a lot of money in itself is not bad. And indeed, one of the reasons I think I would like to serve on the board of the SABC is to make sure that fake news like this is not created. You might recall, I don't know how many of the members watch ANN7, but they have this report which they produced for about a week long where they commented on it. Now, one of the things, whether you agree with the report or not, you know, that's a separate issue. But the panel discussion was about white monopoly capitalism, which was the topic of interest at the time. And that's fine, but there's nowhere in the report, nowhere in any of the reports, in any of the reviews that has been done, was there any mention of white monopoly capitalism. And they were talking about this specific company, that's why I mentioned it. While they were talking about contracts that has been awarded to white monopoly capitalists, companies, they put a picture of the owner of this company up there, and if you've seen it, he's a male of Indian South African descent. Now, how can that be white monopoly capitalist if he's a male of Indian South African descent? It doesn't make sense to me. What I can say to the member is there is a report, and if we have done wrong, we have to take accountability. I believe I'm an honourable man. I will not shy away from my responsibility. But up to now, there is no evidence of anything being wrong. And if I have time, Chair, I would like, and maybe if there's no time, I would gladly engage with any of the members on that report at any time and explain what we've done. If it's wrong, I have to account. You know, I cannot run away from my responsibility. But we, and certainly myself, believe that nothing has been done illegally. If the procedure is not right, then we must account. What I would not do, Chair, I must just say that I will not let the reputation of honourable men be tarnished, people like the Director General at Prime Minister Mugisha Suzile.
Thank you very much. Anna Rumasov.
You applied to become a board member.
I'm sure you mean the public broadcast and not the
by having good corporate governance, and you must turn the finances around. And
CA, we've got lots of experience, audit experience in the private and the public sector. You were the Accountant General of South Africa. And the question I asked a lot of candidates this morning is why they're in the CBC. And the reason I asked this question is so that I can gauge whether or not candidates, you know, understand what they're getting into, understand the work that's required at the SABC, and really just understand why they need to want to serve on the SABC board. So what are your reasons for applying for the SABC board? What is it that you need to contribute?
Thank you. I like the challenge. You know, I can't do a job where you just sit down, and if it was a well-run organization, I probably would not have applied, because, you know, I believe I've got the ability to change things around, and I would like to do that. It's not easy. Remember, as heard already today, things that have happened in the past were brought up, because we live in a difficult environment when you work in government or as a state-owned company. You've got to be prepared for those things. It's always going to come up. But you must be ready to account for what you've done and why you've done these things. It is a challenge, you know. I don't think I will shrink away. In the position that I was in previously as Accountant General, you would have ministers coming down and saying, you know, why is this happening and this happening? And you've got to be firm. And therefore, I believe that I will not be intimidated like some of the other members might. I'm not saying they will be, but they might be more junior and more susceptible to those kind of reactions. I'm used to those kind of things. Doesn't mean I like it. It's not easy, but I accept them as part of the job. And the big thing for me is the challenge. Like I said, if it was a well-run organization, it would not be a challenge, and you know, I wouldn't necessarily have applied for it.
Yes. And your stint at National Treasury was relatively short. You worked there for 2 years. Why did you only work for such a short time, and why did you leave in September 2015? You served under the former DG, Mr. Fuzile, and the former Minister of Finance, Zakamene. So what were your reasons for leaving in September 2015?
Maybe if it was up to me, I would go back tomorrow, because I really enjoyed my job. It's a fantastic job, especially for somebody that craves responsibility. Unfortunately, my dad became very ill. He had cancer when he was the first close family member of mine. I suppose I've overreacted. I've spoken to the minister at the time. We needed money to pay. When you're in a situation like that, we wanted to send him for treatment in India because we heard they've got progressive systems from all of those countries. Unfortunately, he died almost immediately. So, but if I could, I would go back in a flash.
I'm sorry for your loss. And then my final question is, given all your finance and audit experience, the SABC is in a bit of a twang. So how would you improve the SABC's finances, given the amount of knowledge and experience you have? How would you improve the SABC's funding model?
Well, there's a number of ways that you can do. You know, we must be careful not to criticize everything that people have done. We must just look at the way it was done. So, selling programs, for example, is not bad. I think on the channel the other day, and I got on some of these old SABC programs that they rebroadcasting on Internet, I saw something called Telephone Quiz. I looked at it for about 30 seconds and I turned it off. Nobody wants to watch that. It's outdated. If I can sell that to somebody and get money for it, hey, no problem, I will do that. But the most important thing is, first of all, get advertising back. You know, if we say we're a public broadcaster, we want everybody to have access, then I don't think we should even be levying license fees. For me, that's a personal opinion. Although the legislation says, and therefore I will try and enforce it. But the most important thing is to get advertising space back. You do that by increasing the right content that people will feel that they want to advertise on this program. So it must be something that's of value to the advertiser, and that will draw the masses to look at the program or to listen to the program on the radio. Also, cost containment, yeah, I think is very important. I think there's certainly areas where we can cut costs at the SABC at the moment when I look at the financial sector.
Thank you very much. Another one? Time off. Yes, Mr. Davis?
Thank you, Chair. As I've done before, I'll ask all my questions in succession. I have three questions. Thank you very much, Chris, for making yourself available to us. In your CV, you say that you have, and I quote, a close working relationship with most senior government officials. Now, I think some people might say that many of the SNP's problems have been occasioned by the fact that too many board members, both executive and non-executive, are too close to government. What is your response to this? And don't you agree that we need an SABC board that is independent from government and government officials? The second question is, when you were at Treasury, did you ever come across any evidence of state capture? And what would you do as an SABC board member to protect the SABC from state capture in the future? And then my third question is, revolved around the finances of the SABC, and you've already mentioned that you would implement a range of cost containment measures, but you don't say precisely what those measures would be. I'd be very interested to know precisely which cost containment measures you would implement and how specifically you would implement them and still carry out the SABC's public service mandate. Because obviously the SABC has a very specific mandate as a public broadcaster which needs to be funded. So how do you balance the two, the cost containment whilst still carrying out that mandate that's set out in the Constitution and in legislation?
Thanks, Ben. If I can start with the working relationship, it's exactly that. When I say close working relationship, it means I know them on a personal level. It doesn't mean that we fraternize or anything like that. And I can tell you, while I think most of them respect me because I had to take certain stances in the past, that doesn't mean that they like me. Because typically the decisions that I've taken would not have been those decisions that they necessarily would have wanted. So I'm quite comfortable that a close working relationship is something that means I have access to them rather than I have a personal relationship with them that will influence the work that I do. I think in my case, I believe my past history reflects that I have not succumbed to any of those notions that you must abide by what these people necessarily want. As far as capture is concerned, you've got to guide me on this. I don't know how much I am allowed to disclose about the things that we have at Treasury, because obviously it's confidential and top secret and those kind of things. I'm quite happy to share with you the things that I've done. One of the units that fell under me as the Accountant General was a unit called Special Audit Services, which is basically a forensic arm that investigates a lot of things. You know, we've investigated things like the chairperson of the IEC, the dairy farm in the Free State and those kind of things. So I have intimate knowledge of things that I believe, we've never called it state capture, we simply look at whether the process was right or wrong. But I don't want to comment about those things necessarily, you know, because I don't know whether I have the right to comment about those things. But certainly, we've never called it state capture, but we certainly picked up things that were wrong. Or that we believe could have been better, and which we have reported to various institutions that deals with those matters. As far as the cost containment and the mandate, etc., you know, it's difficult because you judge an organisation based on the public information that is available, and in this case it's the financial statements that were produced, etc., and anecdotal information that were given out there. But first of all, I think for me, cost containment starts with small things, you know. Start small, and then it will, because once the culture is installed, it will grow. So things like the things that we have implemented at National Treasury, at National and Provincial Departments, no more entertainment, no more traveling when it's not really, really necessary. I believe, in fact, in my judgment, and I might be completely wrong, but it's my view, is that the SABC is overstaffed for what they are doing currently. I'm not saying they must be retrenched. I think people must be reskilled and reapplied into other areas, and we might get better benefit out of them if we do those kind of things. So I would start, if I am elected as a board member, I would start by looking at the organization as a whole, making sure, because over a period of time, not closely focused all the time, you might lose focus, you might find duplication of effort, you might find that
Now, in this regard, I note that you were involved in what is now the integrated financial management system. You did talk a little bit about that, albeit you have not, in my own opinion, finalized. Okay. You looked into the upgrade of the national treasury, of that particular area in the national treasury. Now, would you care to comment and place the controversy, which, in my own opinion, you went through regarding this matter, of in perspective? Now, if the chairperson allows me, so that I don't come back, I'll put the second question. Okay. Could you describe, sir, in your view, okay, the relationship between the board, the shareholder, I suppose you know who the shareholder is, okay, and the SABC and its management. I suppose you know that the SABC has failed. I'm referring to the management in particular, but the board as well. If this committee says if you go in, are you going to be able to handle all those problems that you have raised? Thank you.
Thank you, Member. And it's a pity, you know, that since the controversy about IPMS came about, and it's been around for quite a while now, the only people that has approached me was I had an informal talk with the DG of Corporate Services about a year and a half ago, where we spoke about a number of issues, including the IPMS and what we would have done better if we had a second chance. Any investigations of the firm that were doing the forensic audit that spoke to me, and nothing else is, nobody else has wanted to speak to me about it. But what I can tell you is that there is an internal audit report and it's a valid report. There are control weaknesses and we have to account for it, including myself. There are things that could have been done better. What is not there, there's no fraud, there's no dishonesty or anything like that. What we have done has always been done open. And let me just explain one example of what happened. You know that we have the chief procurement officer, which was only started a couple of years ago. One of the things they implemented is something called the central supplier database, which puts all the suppliers together and stuff. If I can relate it to the SABC, it's like having an IT division and having a procurement division. And the procurement division say, I must buy a new system. The IT division then say, well, we're fitting with a new system that will encompass the whole company. Whatever you want must be part of our system. So procurement don't mind. They just want the system. And this is what happened here. So what the internal audit report found, for example, is that the procedure should have been that the money for that system that they wanted should have been transferred to that unit, that should be bought from their unit and not from this unit. Whereas we said, well, the whole system belongs to IPMS. Everything related to IPMS must be part of IPMS. And therefore it must be included in what we say. There's nothing wrong with the procurement process that was followed in appointing people. There's nothing wrong with the money being apportioned. It's an administrative thing that the budget should be transferred from one unit to another unit before it was done. I admit it was wrong, but no money has been lost to state or government, no process was wrong, and nothing like that. So I believe, just in short, Member, it is correct, there is controversy, and there is things that have gone wrong. You know, there's no denying that, and I'm part of that. And I will own up to it, and whatever consequences there is, I will face those consequences. But I believe in my heart there's nothing.
15 seconds. 15 seconds.
On the SABC management, the shareholder is the number one, because the shareholder is the one that owns the organisation. The board must give strategic direction, and we will, because we've got the expertise to allow management to guide management as to what they should do. Management is responsible for day-to-day activities, but I believe the board should guide them, but with the input of the shareholders, because the shareholder remains the shareholder and the owner of the organisation.
Thank you.
as I said earlier, there's a number of legislation that obviously impacts on the SABC, and all of them are important. Legislation is there to give us guidance and will help us in performing our duties. It's not supposed to be restrictive, it's actually there to guide us to make sure that we do the right things. I don't believe the legislation is wrong. I believe it's only things like the what is best for the country going forward in terms of technology, for example, whether we should be analog digital. We've taken a decision already, it's just a matter of implementing those kind of things that is important and legislating that so that we do it in the right way. But more important is let's call it the administrative legislation that guides the process that we follow, for example, the PFMA and other legislation which deals with finances and the way that we account and how we account those things. I believe I have a very sound knowledge of those specific areas. The Communications Act, I'm not an expert in. I don't know much about that. I can get the knowledge. But the PFMA, I believe I've got very strong knowledge and the various codes, etc., that legislate that. And there I think I can say, when it comes to the turnaround strategy and the reported action issues, I from anecdotally from what I've read in the newspaper and public media and social media about the current board, the interim board, I think they're doing a fantastic job. And if I were unsuccessful in New Zealand, it's because we've chosen the current interim board. There's no question about that. They're doing a very good job. It is important because a number of reports have been issued and a number of statements have been made by various people about SABC and what they have achieved, including the oversight that has been done by the shareholder in this case and the board itself at the time. And I think, to my mind, the board, the old board, did not perform the duties that they were supposed to do. They were delinquent in what they were doing because there are certain issues that should have been picked up if you were in that position, and it should have been highlighted to you. My turnaround strategy, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think it's important. One, governance must come back. You must put rules in place, and everybody must apply to that. And if somebody do not comply with those rules, there must be consequences. Action must be taken. And I think that's the most important. Once you made an example of somebody, I think it will turn around. It will be much better than that. The second thing, and I know I'm repeating myself, but the finances at the moment is very important. We have to look at the finance. We've got to make sure that it's a sustainable business. We don't want another SAA where we just pour money, and in the end we have to sell other government assets that's performing well to fund the SABC. SABC is very important. We can never do away with it. It is so important for all the members of our community and our country to have access to the SABC. That's why, in my own view, and I don't want to oppose it, but in my own view, we shouldn't even have licensing issues because that barriers to some of our people that makes it they can't have it. It's very important for us to communicate with our population, with the public out there, and the SABC is the way to do it. And therefore, we must make sure that the public responsibility that we have as the SABC gets pronounced and is processed out there. The process of doing it, I think I've touched on, Chair, have I asked you adequately, Mem, or do I need to explain on the process?
Communicating to us what the member asks. If you are done, are you done?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Good
afternoon,
Mr. Dutton.
I think you tried in a way while you were responding to the other questions to make my task much easier. But I wanted to try and share with us your view around the relationship between the SABC and the Republic, the current state of affairs, and if appointed a board member, how do you see yourself improving this current state of affairs?
So all the questions asked. Are you done with your questions?
Yeah.
With your questions. Okay. Thank you very much.
No.
Go to all questions.
Okay.
It's wise to do that.
Okay.
For our time.
The funding model for the SABC and the regulator. And government clinics will put in place to ensure that this funding model is realigned. You can just share with us as well.
Thanks, Member. First of all, the relationship between the regulator and the SABC, I believe, is strained at the moment. In my view, I mean, one of the things I'm a board member is to make sure it's relationship management. We have to, while being firm about what we believe in and what we stand for and what we must comply with in terms of legislation, we have to have a cordial relationship with all our stakeholders, including our regulator. The regulator especially is very important because it's got an oversight responsibility just like the members have in the portfolio committee. But it must, the regulator is there to make sure that we comply with the legislation that has been put down. That's regulated in part, they must regulate. And if we are not doing what they expect us to do, then there's a problem. And that is a board member we have to address. Now that might not be, mean that we are wrong, but it might mean that the perception that the regulator has about us is wrong. And the only way to change that perception is to give them the correct evidence. And if you use evidence and they still do not believe you or you cannot convince them, then you have to accept that you're probably wrong. You have to change your view. But at the end of the day, the regulator applies legislation. And therefore, if they say that we must do something, we have to comply with that. It doesn't mean that we're always going to like it, but it does mean that we must have a cordial relationship with them. I'm a very strongly of the view that people can be convinced if you have the facts at your disposal. So it doesn't mean that simply because the regulators say we have to do something, we must immediately do it. I think there's room for engagement and explaining our position to them. But at the end of the day, once the decision is taken by the regulator, I believe it's up to the board to make sure that it is implemented. It must be implemented without question, because that's the role of the regulator. The funding model, as I say, for me personally, the funding model as it currently is, whether it's good or bad, it's immaterial, the fact that it's not working. Because the SABC doesn't have enough funding. I do not believe we're ever going to get enough funding from licensees. That is not the thing that will produce the funding that will make SABC profitable. What is more important is to find ways that will make it profitable, and that you get from sponsors, from advertising, from marketing. So first we've got to get the content right. So it's content that people would be willing to pay advertising fees for. Because if I as a private sector company want to sell my product, I want to sell it on a program or on a radio station where I know I've got a lot of listeners or viewers that's going to get the message that I'm trying to broadcast. But I believe it's also there's other ways that we must do this. You know, the SABC has got a broader mandate to inform our public, the people of South Africa, about what's going on in the country. And so there is room for those kind of engagement that is not necessarily being shown on TV or broadcast on radio that will still allow us to get funding. And there I mean things like sponsorship, events that are happening, etc., where we can play a role as well. My funding model, in short, is to focus on getting more advertising income. That is the main focus of my turnaround strategy that I would implement when it comes to the SABC and what I will be focusing on if I am successful.
Thank you very much, Honourable Gondel.
Thank you, Chair. Having been in government in the respective role you have played, particularly for the Treasury Unit, you would have discussed the specifics you know about this deficit in terms of its leadership deficits and management. And maybe you can also explain simply about a lot of cases in a short space of time. Maybe you can share with us that. But there's one point or a very complex question that I would like to deal with. I'll just put a quote for you. If you go over to the core territories of the SABC, they speak about the fact that all public broadcasters share features with lines of accountability and independence. although South African one would be unique to our democratic values as stated in the constitution. But further under the code of SABC, interestingly, one point says we do not allow officers in commercial, political or personal consideration to influence electoral policy. And further there it says the SABC is not the world piece of government. Nor should it broadcast its opinion on carbon policy unless they relate directly to broadcasting matters. And I close the quote under charter. It says the role of the shareholder, or the headstone of the shareholder, is to describe or articulate the roles of the directors and the board in a compact. But they say, in so doing, the shareholder must take into account potential conflicts of interest between the shareholder regulatory responsibility as government on the one hand and the shareholder responsibility on the other. I'm sure with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Member. I do not believe, Member, that it serves any purpose to name people by name and specific issues that I think is important is the thing that the issue of 90% local content. There were issues about producing only good news, which I will speak a little bit about now because it comes back to what you were saying about the mouthpiece of the government in place. And then also there were issues about reporting under one person, centralization of power, and the state of some of the progress. I think I've touched on most of these things during the conversation. I'm not against selling of programs, but it must be in the right context. You can't sell your crown jewels. If you don't have the right assets, which include intellectual property, you're setting yourself up for failure. And there must be procedures that you put in place so that you can value this asset that you're going to sell and make sure that you get the right value for it. 90% local content, I'm very much in favor of local content. In fact, you ask me, when it comes to music, our local music is the best in the world. But we have to consider what is the impact of our actions when we do take those decisions. And if you go from overnight to change from, I don't know what it was, but let's say 20% local content to 90% local content, you must understand that you're going to lose advertising space and that some people will no longer listen to you. Because whether we like it or not, people that like to listen to music, they want to listen to international music as well. And it's freely available these days with the infrastructure that we have. So therefore, you will lose those advertising space. So what I'm saying is, all of these issues that are in the media, digital, analog, you know, you've got to move with the times, but all of it must be seen in context. And I'm not condemning the decision that has been taken about them, I'm condemning the way in which it happened. I think there was not proper oversight, we didn't consider it adequately, because if we have done that, the results that we got out of it would have been better. Nothing wrong with increasing local content, but you might do it over a series of time, keeping on hold on to it. The code and the various areas that the member has quoted are very important. I believe that even if you have a shareholder, you are not necessarily the mouthpiece of that organization. The SABC can never be the mouthpiece of the ruling party, although we might understand that the ruling party does have the majority view, and therefore it would be fair that they probably, you know, when it comes to news reporting, there are more people that are interested in the governing party because they've demonstrated that by voting for the governing party, and therefore you have to report on it in a certain way. That doesn't mean that you have to report propaganda. You must report factually, and if it's not factually, that is our responsibility as a board to take those actions. I have no issue with the news starting off with what the president has said, but it must be put in context. This is what he has done. It cannot be for propaganda, it cannot be to promote certain factions or anything like that. And that is our
I will give for outside 5 minutes left. I will give one hour for Kalak and another for Pandam.
To me, just clarify, I had you when you started, Mr. Sass, when you were telling us about yourself. You mentioned that you once worked for GCI.
Yes,
that's
another
one. GCI, yeah. I think you mentioned that around 90. My interest is that the same period when Fred Campbell was changing GCI.
The second question? No, your question.
Thanks. In my earlier, in response to one of my questions, you mentioned that you do not believe the FABC should make the South Africans pay a license fee. So is it your proposal then that license fees are done away with in their entirety? And then do you agree a license?
What I can say is that the time I was at Deja was just before Black Cable came in. You will recall that at the time Deja was a big mining conglomerate like Anglo America. They split it up into Amtrak, Jonic at the time, and JCI. And then immediately after that split is when Black Cable called JCI, the mining portion of it. So I was there just before him. I never worked with him. As far as the proposal, yes, it is my personal view. If the board decides that license fees must be there, I will make sure that it's implemented and done. But my personal view is that it doesn't serve a purpose. In fact, I believe it's a barrier to some of our members of public. When we say we want to provide content to all the people of South Africa, license fee is a barrier to some of them. And I would, my personal view is I would do away with it. As far as my own license fee is concerned, yes, I do have a TV license, but it's due. Has not been paid, you know, so I do have to pay a fine on
it. In the advert of 3060, I hope you will, in the advert of 3060, what do you think the role of 3060 is to the public profile? In the advent of 3060, what do you think the role of officer pastime.
See, I must know. Yes,
and maybe,
I don't know what DTP
and maybe this digital terrestrial television. Maybe just to elaborate on the question of TV licenses and stuff. Because that's part of collecting revenue for ITC. What are the things that What do you think is the best model? What do you think is the best model? As a person who's interested in being in court.
Jane, I just offer the second one first because you probably heard during my discussion as a passion of mine, I believe very strongly in it. It's not that I'm against licensing, it's just that I don't want there to be any barriers to the population of South Africa to get access to what we have. And therefore, I believe it's a better model to rely on advertising revenue to a larger degree. You do that by having content that people want to advertise in. The more listeners or viewers that you attract, the more likely people are to pay for advertising space. So we've got to increase the content of what we broadcast and the quality of what we broadcast. And then that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend more money. But if we do that, I believe that in a couple of years we will get to a situation where we can do away with state subsidizing and we would not need license fees. In the absence of that, if we have to levy license fees, then I would advocate that we have to make much more use of things like libraries, etc., to give people access to programs that we broadcast or schools, etc. Provide some content to them for free so that we know that they have access to it. In my model, I would do away with licenses completely, but it will not be something that will happen immediately. It will have to happen over time because of the situation that we're in. As far as DPT is concerned, I believe the content will remain the same. The fact that it's a different platform doesn't change the content. And at the moment, my biggest concern of the SABC is the content itself is not up to standard. The fact that it's going to be broadcast on a different platform, to me, doesn't change anything. You don't make the program in a different way because it's going to be on a different platform.
I think. I don't think you need a break.
No, we don't.
We don't, eh? Can you call us?